We're back. Well, we're 66% back on this episode 20, whatever, of Infield Chatter. I'm Clefo, that's Soko over yonder.
Hello.
Devin Jessup is not available at the moment, but he may pop in later. He might not. Who knows? It's a mystery. Add some reverb in post here. Ooh. But, yeah, in case you were wondering where we went, last two weeks, I'll just say generally, I've been in work hell, but the upside of this work hell is that when my next paycheck comes, I can buy all the steak pit bottles of cheap tequila and kind of low-grade hookers, because I'm just thinking about the whole membership.
Okay.
I could buy, like, myself a really nice bottle of tequila and a high-grade hooker. You know what? I'll just do that. Screw you guys.
Yeah, I mean, you should treat yourself.
Treat yourself, yeah. And there was no usual Soko and Devin episode because of, I think the call recorder stopped working for you a while ago. So
yeah, I don't know what the deal is with it, because it won't even pull up to even test. Like, it'll pull up the program, but it won't. Like, you press record, you press the connect, it just, I don't know. If I had the opportunity, then I would have tried to record something when I actually saw him this weekend. But we were kind of crunched for the time, all the time, so it just didn't really work out. So sorry, everyone.
So yeah, we last recorded on August 30th or something, I want to say. So it's a bit, even, well, before that, August 28th. Yeah, that's fun. But we're back. This is kind of going to be a get back in the groove sort of episode. I'll just admit up front, because why lie to you? No, you deserve to have the truth told you most of the time. Sometimes, yeah, maybe I should lie to you, mostly about whether or not that cake you made with the rhubarb was good, because it wasn't, but, you know, social contract. Anyway,
is that based on a real event?
No, this is actually from my mind, and I'll admit up front that I'm halfway into Rum's Glorious Rum. So
you're about to get weird.
Things are about to get weird and touchy. Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Turn the lights out. Get a bass groove in here. Oh yeah.
Sneak bit after dark.
Anyway, so in the past 2 weeks, the Diamondbacks have been playing, for lack of a better term, like ass. So we're just going to kind of gloss over that, because there's nothing much you can say than, oh, it's late in the season, they're playing good teams, shit happens.
Yeah, I mean, we could complain about how bad they've been, or bemoan the fact that they're now definitely not realistically in the playoff race. But I kind of feel like everybody already knows that. And also, it would require a lot more research and thought than what we normally put in, and everybody knows that this is a research-free podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, the only research I've been doing now is I'm drinking a moderately strong rum and coke right now, and so that's helping all my thoughts.
That's the kind of research I can get behind.
Yeah, like, I noticed today that Wellington Castillo hit a home run against the Cubs. Had a sip of rum, was like, oh wait, he homered against the Mariners as well. He might be the first person ever to homer against two teams that traded him in the same season. I'm not going to look that up, but that would be a cool factoid.
I'm just going to assume it's true. So you go, Wellington.
Yeah. He's not Baddington, he's Low Wellington.
Yeah.
Not Porrington, yeah. Not Medium Rarington. Yes. Anyway, since that is, the Diamondbacks are playing at the Schneid now. They kind of have been for a bit, but it's very, very, very apparent now that this is sort of what is going to happen. So our thoughts sort of turn to other things.
Yes.
We can talk about some other baseball news that's been happening recently that's hot take worthy.
Indeed. So Matt Harvey is a pitcher who plays for the Mets, as most of you know. Mm-hmm. And there's just been kind of shenanigans going down about, you know, since he had a Tommy John surgery, whether he would be shut down with the playoff push, or what was going to happen with that, because it's happened with other pitchers, and it's just kind of blew up on Twitter yesterday and today, where he kind of avoided the question, like, oh, I'm not gonna sit out, blah blah blah.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. The way I remember it is, yesterday or the day before, he said that he was on some sort of hard innings limit because of what Dr. James Andrews, the only sports surgeon in the country, apparently said.
No, he said he wouldn't talk about whether he would. He was just like, well, talk to my agent or talk to my doctors. Mm-hmm. But kind of alluding to the fact that he had some sort of limit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, twist, today he wrote something for the Players Tribune, which, if you don't know, is a website started by Derek Jeter, which offers, and I'm using scare quotes here, an unfiltered look into players' lives, but it's really a very filtered thing written by players because, you know, they can control their own message, so that he's like, no, I'm good for the playoffs and stuff, and then at this point it's like, Jesus Christ, why did we go through this?
Yeah.
But my thing is, this happened with sort of almost the exact same situation with Steven Strasburg a few years ago, but that hard inning limit was very well known.
Right.
And
I think kind of the difference here too is that he kind of implied yesterday, like, well, maybe he wouldn't pitch in the playoffs because of the pitch limit, the innings limit. And then today he's like, no. If we, you know, when we're in the playoffs, if we make the playoffs, I will pitch. Mm-hmm. But it puts a bit of a question mark in my mind. Maybe this is just like a New York thing that they have to blow every little sports thing up into the biggest scandal ever. But I would think they would be pretty excited about the idea, like, hey, our dude is going to pitch in the playoffs when it matters.
Yeah. Yeah, with Strasburg, it was a very hard innings count. They were done, and then, as I recall, the Nats choked in the playoffs, so... Yeah.
Right, and then everybody laughed themselves to death about, well, if only they had had Strasburg.
And, you know, in a small... Because, if I recall, that Game 5 was a game where they took a big lead, but then their starter coughed it up, so...
So maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
not. But here's my thing about... The hard innings limit to me doesn't even make like sense, because no inning is actually like, because a 1-2-3 inning is way different than a, say, inning where you throw 30 pitches and you're getting into trouble on the bases, you know?
Yeah.
You're allowed a lot of hitters. And I guess you could argue that those sort of even out over time, but at the same time...
That's probably the argument, would be my guess.
Yeah.
I mean, again, without doing the research on this, because no research podcast, but my guess is that if you took a large enough sample, like a season, mm-hmm. that, it would probably be fairly consistent. Okay, 180 innings pitch is going to equal approximately so many pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least if it's a certain type of player, mm-hmm. like, okay, well, we know that they're going to induce lots of ground balls, then, or they're going to try and put the ball in play. Probably not going to pitch quite as much or have as many pitches thrown every inning as someone who's trying to strike out every guy.
Yeah.
So they probably looked at that and said, okay, well, if he pitches 180 innings, that means X amount of pitches are going to be thrown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that makes some sense, but at the same time, it feels like there's a lot of variance there.
Yes, definitely. Possible. I mean, it would be a very rough estimate to even say that that it would be anything significant. Mm-hmm. And it's probably comes down to it's easier to express something in 180 innings instead of, you know, however many thousands of pitches.
I would say probably somewhere around like 2,500. So, I mean, I wish I could say I could calculate that in my head, but no, I saw a tweet earlier about that, so I wanted to sound smart. I don't know why I just admitted that. I could have looked cool. I am cool. This actually, speaking of teams that could possibly make the playoffs, so the Diamondbacks, barring a nuclear holocaust, are not going to make the playoffs. You know, we're baseball fans. We'd watch the playoffs regardless. If you think about the potential playoff teams in each league right now, and we might revisit this at the end of the season as well.
Yeah.
If you had to sort of rank them, you know, casually, which teams would you root for, like, as a neutral fan? Like, and which teams would you conversely not root for?
That's pretty good. All right, so Toronto, it would be kind of cool to see them win. It's a lot easier for me to go down the AL list and be happy with virtually any of the teams.
Yeah.
Just simply because we, as I believe I've said on this podcast before, since you don't see AL teams quite as much as you do NL, there just isn't as much hate even for the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, if this was the year 2003 or 2 or whatever, and they were still kind of in that middle of that big run where they were constantly in the World Series or winning it, there'd be a lot more fatigue. But given that they haven't been in it since 2009, it's kind of dead. But it would be really cool if the Astros won. It would be kind of cool if the Royals won, especially since my wife is kind of a Royals fan as her second team.
Like, gasp.
Well, because her dad's side of the family is from Kansas City.
That makes sense. I forgot.
So,
yeah.
And her mom's side of the family is from Omaha, and they have the Omaha Royals. So
Omaha style.
It makes sense, but just the way the Royals have sometimes acted this season kind of makes me cringe a little bit at them.
Yeah, like I said on here before, they've done their damnedest to take the dirtbag mantle away from the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, exactly. So those would probably be my top three. I mean, they're all the division leaders right now, so that makes it easy. But it would be kind of cool if any of those three won at all. And then on the National League side, honestly, like, it would be cool to see the Mets win, because it's always, you know, it's just kind of, that would be kind of funny, especially the way people react about how stupid the Mets are. But it would be really, really amusing to me if the Cardinals won again, just to see baseball Twitter and the blogosphere just absolutely melt down.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I'm a huge troll, so.
Yeah. I think that's fair and good. I'm looking at standings right now. Of the possible playoff teams, in the AL, yeah, I kind of gravitate towards teams who haven't won anything in a while, because if my favorite team can't win anything, that would be the Arizona Diamondbacks, in case you had a brief moment of forgetting where you were. I like teams that just haven't won anything in a while, because, you know, it's fun to see new teams, like, on the national stage. You know, it was fun to see the Royals do their playoff run last year. I mean, hell, the Royals played the Orioles in the ALCS, so that was, you know.
That was cool.
That was cool, yeah. I would have been cool with either of those teams winning at all, and not the one that actually did. But yeah, in the American League, the Blue Jays, yeah, they'd be fun to watch, even though they have Tulo now. And I do a Clefowing right now, but that only works in text, because the voice in my head would probably kill my vocal cords for that. Just imagine, I'm trying to think, let me Google celebrities with a yelling type voice.
Lewis Black?
Yeah, think like Lewis Black on mescaline.
can see it.
Yeah.
I can hear it.
Yeah. The Blue Jays will be fun. Yeah, the Royals, I'm kind of iffy on them. The Twins are kind of in it.
Yeah.
They'd be fun to see.
It'd be kind of fun.
The Astros definitely, especially since they've been so terrible the past 3 years. And the fact that, and it would be kind of trolly to more, say, traditional baseball types that their process worked.
Yep.
So that'd be fun. The Rangers, they suddenly got back in it. I don't know when that happened, but then again, I've been off the grid for 2 weeks, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the National League, I'm kind of with you on the Mets. It'd be fun. The Nationals suddenly got good again. Huh, that's interesting. I'd be okay with that. Cardinals, I don't hate the Cardinals as much as other people, but I'm also kind of sick of them. Going by the I like to see new teams do well kind of thing.
Right. That's my first choice.
Yeah.
If I could choose between a team who hasn't won, unless I already like the team like that, Max.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's always nice to see teams that have never won it before to win it. But I don't have anything particular against the Cardinals, so I'm okay with them winning.
They're probably the best run franchise of the major leagues. I think that's in terms of like front office and stuff. And I think the fact that they're not, St. Louis isn't like the biggest market, and people say market size is everything, but
yeah.
The Pirates, I'm just going down the list. The Pirates, in a vacuum, sure, but then I remember, most people in Pittsburgh also like the Steelers, and those people, those people are terrible.
True.
The Cubs, 2003 me would have said yes, but modern day jaded me is like, nope.
Yeah, it's hard to get. The only thing that would come from the Cubs winning would be people stop talking about the Cubs curse and blah, 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 all that bull crap.
But then you sort of fear that they'll turn into, like, the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Like that fan base.
Yeah, they definitely would, because they're already essentially the Red Sox fan base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. If they promise to shut up, then I'm for it.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. But I am also, whatever hilarious calamity befalls them in the playoffs, that's fun.
Yeah. It's always good for a laugh.
Yeah. And also, even if they don't win this year, they have, like, a really good team, and, like, their oldest position player is, like, 25.
Right.
So so even if they do crash and burn, I have a hard time feeling sorry for them long term.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, rounding it out, Dodgers and Giants? No.
Nope.
Not once.
Yeah, it kind of boils down to, I would be fine with anyone to win the World Series if it's not the Dodgers and it's not the Giants. I would be okay with the Yankees winning before the Dodgers or the Giants at this point.
Yeah, that's some good hate.
I don't hate the Yankees like,
does. They have kind of softened since the early 2000s. But they're still at the bottom of the non-NL West team list for me.
Yeah, I think I would still even put. I guess the only thing that would maybe put the Yankees up higher on the list for me, maybe even still above the Cardinals, is that I do know some Yankees fans and they're nice people. So if my friends are happy, then I'm generally happy. But I also know Dodgers fans, and I don't want them happy. So
yeah.
It only goes so far.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think. Yeah, there's a. Okay, yeah, I'm just sort of dumbfounded at the standing still, because again, I've been off the grid for 2 weeks, and. One, when did the Tigers get into last place? Two, when did the Braves have a 12-game losing streak? Holy shit. And, and we're still the Diamondbacks still have the same record as those Padres. That is still funny to me. Because the Diamondbacks raison d'etre was shedding salary this offseason, and the Padres was hoarding all the slow outfielders and mediocre pitchers, and they have the same record.
Mm-hmm.
That is hilarious.
I will say that one of my general criteria, too, for rooting for baseball teams mm-hmm. when I don't have any other reason to not root for them
mm-hmm.
Is how cool their uniforms are, and all the teams would have cool uniforms that are, except for maybe the Rangers, they don't really have good ones, but...
They have weird red-blue clashing sometimes, which is odd, because those are hard colors to clash yet, but they do it.
And they can't pick. We constantly go back and forth between the two, and it's just like, mm-hmm. pick one of them.
Yeah.
But Houston, their new uniforms are great. Minnesota, Kansas City, great. Mm-hmm. Yankees, classic. The new Toronto ones that they busted out, the throwback sort of ones, are really nice.
Yeah.
Mets are good. Nats are good. Cardinals, great. Pirates, good. Cubs, except for their road uniform, is good.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Dodgers and the Giants have good ones, so it's like, well...
Yeah, like, there's no, well, no Marlins, no, there's no
Diamondbacks in that list.
Yeah. I don't know, yeah. It's hard for me to judge the Diamondbacks uniform because I see them so often. I don't have, like, that outside perspective.
They're not very good.
No. It's
They're not the worst. I would say, generally speaking, the state of baseball right now, or Major League Baseball, that the uniforms overall are better probably than they have been in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the best they've ever been, because, you know, if we went back to, I don't know, the 60s or the 50s or whatever, there'd be a lot of nostalgia to it. But
mm-hmm.
I would say right now the uniform sets that everybody mm-hmm. has is probably collectively better than they were 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, the 90s, I mean, in general, were kind of... In all sports, were like... Again, mescaline, and what about teal, man, or baby blue? Whoa.
Teal, purple, mm-hmm. black.
Yeah.
Extreme.
I wonder who had that scheme.
Yeah, we just managed to combine it all, but it's even when you're looking at existing teams, not even new teams that you're talking about, but existing teams mm-hmm. that did overhauls, a lot of them went that way, where they're just like, hey, we're going to have extreme swoops all over the place, or we're gonna introduce teal randomly.
Yeah.
Even though our colors might have been red, white, and blue like the Pistons.
I remember that. That was weird. Like, yeah. I'm trying to think of like just looking down at list of teams. Well, you remember like it was like 1995 to about 2001. Those Angels uniforms.
Yep.
Yeah, those were woof.
The what? Like navy, powder blue, mm-hmm. red, yellow.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there was another color, maybe black. Mm-hmm. Just all over the place.
And they had that weird, like, wing and logo that was kind of busy.
Yeah. It was not a good time.
Mm-hmm. Because the year after they changed that, they won the World Series, so...
Yeah. There was a great commercial for ESPN in the mid-2000s where they were... the commentators were fictionally talking about like all these teams that had changed their uniforms in the NFL and then won the Super Bowl. The Broncos did it.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers did it. The Rams did it.
Yep.
I think there were a couple others that I'm just blanking on because I don't care enough to look it up. But the joke of the commercial was them looking at then at Jim Kelly like, you know, the Bills need to change their uniform design, and then they bust out like all these ridiculous Buffalo Bills uniform redesigns.
But then the Buffalo Bills themselves had a kind of ridiculous uniform redesign in the early 2000s.
And it didn't help at all. It's almost like there's no connection between the two.
Yeah, it's like a weird, just coincidental kind of thing.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of like other things where that may have been the case, like changing uniforms when a title in any sport.
and actually win the title?
Well, if you want to get really literal, the Colorado Avalanche won a Stanley Cup in their first year of existence.
Yeah, that's true.
The Angels that one year. The Broncos, obviously. So, yeah, it's a thing that happens occasionally, or did happen, so...
Yeah, it certainly has happened.
Hell, the Diamondbacks made the LCS the first year of Sedona, Red, Sand, and...
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, but they didn't win the championship, so
yeah,
it doesn't quite count.
But, I mean, it's close.
Problem, though, for baseball, at least right now, our current frame of reference, the last 10 years have been dominated only by a few teams.
Yeah.
And they all have, like, really traditional uniform sets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess even if you back that up, if you go, the last 20 years of baseball championships, sure, there's been a lot of random teams that have been in them.
Yeah.
And there have been a couple of pop-ups of teams that have won it, but otherwise you got just a ton of Yankees, ton of Red Sox, ton of Cardinals, ton of Giants, all very traditional.
Yeah. One more example, not a win the World Series kind of thing, but again, close. When Tampa Bay dropped the devil from their name.
Oh, yeah, that's true, and then they went.
They got to Game 6 of the World Series, so that ain't nothing.
Yeah, no, that's nothing to sniff at.
Yeah. God, I remember that World Series. Like, every game was rained out. It was awful.
They had, like, multiple days where they were trying to finish. Maybe not the last game, the second to last game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good times.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 2008, man. What a year, man.
It was a weird year because it was like, seemed like the start of a Phillies dynasty. They go to the World Series again the next year, lose, and then the next year they supposedly had the super rotation, and then
the loss of the LCS to the Giants. The next year they really flamed out, and then
they're pretty much the worst.
Well, thanks to that Braves losing streak, they're only a game out of not being the worst. So, good job, Phillies. But oof, yeah, So, shifting gears to off-season things, kinda when the Diamondback season is over. We're talking kind of about, what are things to do to sort of kill time in the off season? And we can, sort of talk, in later weeks, we can talk about this more, but just some general ideas. Because we were talking kind of pre-show about, the out of the park baseball review I did, which I never said, I don't think I said it explicitly, but I recommend it. I'm sorry that my gaming journalism isn't so ethical. Please don't harass random women about it, terrible people on the internet. We were thinking a little more about that because, my review kind of had a set limit, word-wise, but I really can't recommend it enough because, especially if you're the type of person who visits this website and, listens to this, you're probably a more than casual baseball fan. Like I said in the review, you could do as much or as little as you want and sort of however you want to do it. If you wanted to control like every single aspect of every minor league system you can, or you can, have the AI do it and concentrate on a major league team, or maybe you just want to manage the team and see what the GM throws at you, or just GM and see what crazy things the manager does, or, create a fictional league of fictional players of, whatever, or...
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess my question to you, because I read the review, but I don't have this year's edition. I bought it 3 or 4 years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it, but I'm not quite as big on the GM side of things. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really get a lot out of doing fictional transactions and all that sort of stuff. Like, to me, what would be fun would be setting up fictional league, which is what I had done at that time, and then essentially choosing, which is why I like Stratomatic, because it's much more about the managing side of it.
Yeah.
So you got a chance to play both the GM and the manager roles. Do you feel like one is better than the other, or you'll be satisfied regardless?
You could do one, you could do the other, you could do both. I tried it all. I like it all. It just sort of makes it a different game every time. Because if you're a GM and manager, it's all you, and you know, you can just do that to your heart's content. If you're one or the other, you have to deal with an AI sort of doing things you might not want. Like if you're just the general manager, the AI might steadfastly, oh, I don't know, play Willy Bloomquist all the time or something.
Right. And then there's not much you can do about it if you're just the GM.
Yeah. Or if you're the manager, the GM might, I don't know, trade for like 15 Willy Bloomquist. So, yeah.
I mean, that is, I don't know, I guess I'm more okay with that scenario than... I don't know, then the other side being the GM.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, the game is so, like, it's so malleable in the way you can play it that, you know, you could sort of do it however you want. Mm-hmm. You know, within the framework of, obviously, baseball front office stuff, so...
Right.
Yeah. Some other things about... I could tell you some other things about that fictional season I simulated that I sort of cut for content.
Sure.
Let me load up my screenshots so that I can tell you a story. pictures out of the park. Because there was some funny slash macabre kind of stuff. You have an email thing sort of in the game. It tells you, like, your, you know, stuff. And, you know, sometimes it'll tell you other injuries. And for example, here's the Cleveland Indians, Jose Ramirez, in my game, got injured in a pie-related accident.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then he had his rehab increase for 4 to 5 weeks because of pain and soreness from the same injury. Mm. Let's see, scrolling through. What else? I tried to sign Johnny Cueto in the offseason, and he said he was going to sign with me, and I had offered probably way too much. It was like something like 8-120. But it's like, it's not real money. I don't care. I'm just seeing how this game works. So I was like, there's no way he's not going to accept that. And then he signed with the Mariners. So it's like I drove up the price. And even funnier in the offseason, the Dodgers signed a $46 million deal with third baseman Mark Reynolds. Sorry, I'm just kind of scrolling through these sort of funny things. There was a random thing about Kurt Suzuki is holding a fantasy football draft party, which is like, okay, fine. But the date on it was January 15th, 2016. Now, why the hell are you hosting a fantasy football draft in January?
There's no scenario where that makes sense, because even if it was him...
That's in the middle of the playoffs.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, even if he was doing a playoff pick'em or something like that, you're still a couple weeks late on that.
Yeah. It's randomly generated, so I get that, but it's just funny within the framework of the game. Oh, this is the best one. This is seriously the best one. Even though it's kind of sad in a general sense. Jeffrey Loria died.
But it is kind of funny.
Yeah. And it says, the sad news was announced today at a press conference in Miami. His son, Norberto Loria, will take over ownership of the team. Now, I've got to look this up. He does not actually have a son named Norberto.
That would be fantastic, though.
That would be, yeah.
Did you immediately move them to Montreal?
No, I wasn't playing in the commissioner mode, but I should have.
Ah.
because I was trying to play a game without, like, cheating, which was actually, it's like, I actually did pretty well, because...
Yeah, didn't you make the playoffs?
I made the wild card game.
Well, that's the playoffs.
Yeah. But, yeah, I, but mostly because I sort of followed, what was kind of weird, I followed my sort of gut of, this player sucks, I know, this player's good, and I traded for James Shields, which helped the rotation a bit, pretty short term, yeah. So...
Big game, James.
Yeah. Let's see, anything else? No, nothing else that I didn't cover in the article. But yeah, I was like, oh, I should have left in the Jeffrey Loria died thing, but this is a good Easter egg for people to see this podcast.
Does it offer, like, historical replay modes where you can take, like, a season, let's say, I don't know, 67 baseball season and play as the Cardinals?
Yes, you can do any historical season from, I don't remember the year, to basically last year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you can play in as like in like the Korean League or some other league.
Yeah, I saw you mention that, like Korean leagues, Japanese leagues, Mexico, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Because that is one frustrating thing. Like, I like Stramac. It's not like I'm saying I don't want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like the physical aspect of it. But one downside up to it is that even if you were buying the computer version of it, you have to buy lots of like modules and things like that to play any of the old seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So if you buy even the computer version, you're essentially buying the current season. If you want to play random old seasons, you have to buy those separately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a bit frustrating because it's like, I don't have infinite money, but I might want to play some of those.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And I mean, $40 retail price, you know, that's good for some, good for not good for others, but I think it's fair for sort of what it is.
Yeah, well, the amount that you get.
Yeah. 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 But, you know, that's a... It's fun, I recommend it. It's a fun off-season thing. You can replay the season, and they come out one every year. And like I said in the review, they have actual Major League licensing now, so...
Right. Yeah, that was what I remember when I had it, was that you basically had to download a patch from somebody else that would load in all the logos and the photos of everybody, so you wouldn't be stuck with these weird generic logos.
They still don't have pictures of players and stuff, but...
Which is fine, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I mean, even just having the logos, it's a little thing, or having the stadiums, the images of the stadiums.
Yeah.
It's a little thing, but it's better than generic stuff.
Yep. So yeah, there's that. It's an addendum to the review. I think we're about to wrap up, but do you have any other thoughts about anything you want to share with the class?
I... do not. Sorry.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Bye. I bet you thought there was going to be some sort of stinger here. Well, you were wrong. Although this kind of counts as a stinger. Shit. Oh man, I gotta go to bed now.